Chapter 13. We had worked our way through the seaweed and were swimming side by side when I glanced at Edric and was surprised to see that he looked worried. "Is something bothering you?" I asked. "We got the pearl there in time and we have the hair now, so everything is fine, isn't it?" Edric frowned. "Why did you give away the pin we'd brought for Coral? Now we don't have a gift for her." "I guess I wasn't thinking," I said. "I know how fairies act when you don't give them a gift they'd been expecting. I hope Coral isn't like that."
"Why does everyone forget about me?" asked the crab, tugging on my sleeve. "If it's because of my size, I'll be molting soon and then I'll be much bigger."
"What about you?" growled Edric. "We're not giving you a gift, if that's what you're thinking."
"No, no, no. I don't want a gift. Although that would be nice. Maybe if you..."
"Shelton." I could see Coral's castle up ahead, and I didn't want to arrive at her door arguing with a crab.
"I was just going to say that I could be a gift for Coral. I like it here, and there wasn't much for me back at your castle, Princess. If you want to say that I'm the gift, I wouldn't mind at all. As soon as I realized that they were weedetarians..."
"Weedetarians?" Edric asked.
"You know, people who eat only seaweed. As I was saying, since they're weedetarians, they're not about to eat me, so I'm sure I'd be safe here, much safer than at your castle once that awful otter comes home. So, what do you say? May I be the gift? Because it would be the answer to both our problems, don't you think?"
We had almost reached Coral's castle, and I didn't have much time to consider my decision. "If that's what you really want," I said. If the little crab annoyed Coral as much as he did Edric, she might come to resent my gift, and me. On the other hand, we didn't have anything else to give her, and Shelton did want to stay.
"Shelton, let me get this straight," said Edric. "According to your theory, people who eat weeds are weedetarians. What about animals who eat humans? Say, dragons, for instance. Would you call them humanitarians?"
"Maybe," said Shelton, "depending on who it is they eat."
Seeing movement out of the corner of my eye, I turned my head to look. One of the sharp-faced creatures had come to examine us more closely. "Gentlemen," I said, "I think we have company." I darted to the castle door and tried the latch, but it was locked. Edric turned to face the creature, bracing himself in the sand. While he guarded my back, I banged on the door as loudly as I could, which isn't easy underwater.
"Hurry up, Octavius!" I yelled. "Please open this door!"
"That's a shark," said Shelton. "Some are nice enough, but others are nasty. See the way he's looking at us? It's all right as long as he looks, but be careful when he comes closer. I've heard some really scary stories about those guys. Remind me to tell you about the one who..."
"Will you please get that crab to be quiet?" Edric said.
He had his dagger back in his fist and was trying to stay between the shark and me.
"Shelton," I said, shaking my arm to get his attention.
"I got the point," said the little crab, scrambling into my sleeve.
The shark was closer now, so close that we could see its cold, round eye staring at us.
"Shelton," whispered Edric without turning his head, "do sharks have any weak spots?"
The little crab poked his eye stalks out of my sleeve.
"You're asking me? I thought you wanted me to be quiet."
"Shelton!" I cried.
"Oh, all right. I've heard that they'll go away if you hit them on the nose with something heavy. Keep in mind I don't know anyone who's actually done it, so it may not even be true. I'm kind of small to try it myself, but you can if you want to."
Edric grunted. "Thanks for nothing, Shelton. Watch out. It looks like it's coming this way." Edric pushed me against the door, then stood with his back to me, his feet firmly planted, the dagger clenched in his fist. I held my breath as it came straight at him, veering off at the last second.
"Got any spells in mind?"
Edric said so softly that I could hardly hear him.
"You'll have to give me a minute."
"I don't know if I have a minute to give you."
"Then I'll do the best I can. Here goes.
You don't want us in your belly. We'll taste bad, like stinging jelly. Turn around and head straight back. We would make a lousy snack.
Is that supposed to make the shark decide that he doesn't want to eat you?
Said Shelton from the depths of my sleeve.
Because I think I've heard that some sharks eat jellyfish, although I may be wrong.
Emma, said Edric, he isn't going away. Sorry about that. I told you I needed more time. Get ready, said Edric. Here he comes. I was furiously trying to think of a better spell when the door jerked open and a voice snarled,
What, may I ask, are you doing?
It's a shark, Octavius, and it's...
Oh, he said, and suddenly his arms seemed to be everywhere. He wrapped one around my waist and another around Edric, then dragged us both through the opening. A third arm was yanking the door shut as a gaping mouthful of teeth hurtled toward us. Octavius slammed the door an instant before the shark hit it with a resounding bang.
That was close, I said, rubbing my head where I had bumped it on the wall.
Edric helped me to my feet.
Time to go, he said.
Octavius had barred the castle door. Loud thuds told us that the shark was trying to bash its way in.
Thank you for your help, I told the octopus as we followed him down the hall.
It was nothing. I was merely keeping out some of the riffraff. It's a shame I can't keep it all out, he said.
I swam closer to Edric and whispered in his ear,
Were we just insulted?
Lady Coral,
said Octavius, leading us into a little sitting room.
They're back.
Wonderful, declared the sea witch. I was beginning to worry.
You were worried, said Shelton. You should have been there. If you had seen what I saw, you would have been worried from the start.
Tilting her head to one side, Coral raised an eyebrow.
Who are you? She asked.
This is Shelton, I said, not sure how to introduce him.
I'm your present, said the little crab. They want to thank you for everything you've done, and I must say that you have a lovely place here. It's certainly prettier than that other sea witch's home, although not nearly as well located.
Thanks, Shelton, I said, certain that Coral wouldn't want such a chatterbox. As for your present,
he's delightful. Thank you for such a thoughtful gift. Everyone gives me combs and jewels for my hair, but you can only use so many. A nice little crab who can keep me company is a wonderful idea. Octavius isn't much of a conversationalist. We'll get along very well, won't we, Shelton?
You bet, Miss Coral. Why, I can tell you some great stories, and I know
we'd better be going, said Edric. If you could show us the way?
Of course. Octavius will guide you to the door.
Coral took a tiny glass bell from a nearby table and rang it.
Give my love to Grisina, and please come back again to visit. I enjoyed meeting you both. Now, Shelton, she said, setting the little crab on the chair beside her, tell me all about yourself.
Edric grinned. That should take a while.
Humph, said Octavius, who was waiting in the doorway. Please follow me.
What about the shark? I asked the octopus.
It won't bother you. The world beyond the shell door follows its own rules. Whatever happens in the waters around the castle will not affect the waters beyond that door.
Good, I thought. I'd already seen enough big, sharp teeth to last me a lifetime. The shell door wasn't far from the sitting room, and I could hear the murmur of Coral's and Shelton's voices all the way down the hall. They must have been enjoying each other's company, for the last things I heard before the door shut behind us were the high-pitched giggles of a beautiful sea witch and a funny little crab.